It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by
Gordon Ranch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Happy Quarantine Monday, everybody. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And of course, our show is also on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor. Subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe, drop us a review, leave some stars. Would sincerely appreciate it. So for today's episode, I have kind of three different areas I want to dive into, the first of which will be the Rockets virtual watch party that took place Sunday evening. Rockets general manager Daryl Morey was actually available for a live Q&A throughout the entirety of the documentary, which was titled When Amazing Happened, basically covering the Rockets' 2007-2008 season, the 22-game win streak, and all the, you know, wonderful moments, the ups and the downs of that season, because as some of you will remember, that season started off pretty rough. You know, the Rockets, you know, had a really hot start. I want to say it was like 6-1 right off the bat, and then they just kind of cratered a little bit and hovered around 500 for a big chunk of the season until that January moment where they got the first win in what would become the, at the time, the second longest win streak in NBA history, the 22-game win streak. So they were kind of a middling team, and then the win streak propelled them to the top of a very, very difficult Western Conference where you were only separated by a few games from the top seed in the West to the ninth seed in the Western Conference. So, you know, the Warriors that year won 48 games. They were 48-34 and didn't even make the playoffs. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk a little bit about the Big Three, surprisingly. So there's some rumblings going on over there that I find kind of interesting that I want to share with you guys. And then lastly, I threw out on Twitter a anything but Rockets mailbag early last week, and regrettably, I wasn't able to get a Wednesday podcast out for some personal reasons, and so I wasn't able to do the anything but Rockets segment that I wanted to do. So I'm going to throw that into this podcast at the very end. So at the end, I will answer those anything but Rockets questions that you guys had for me. So first things first is we'll talk about the Rockets virtual watch party and, you know, Daryl Morey's Q&A session, which I thought was really cool. And here's the thing, and this is something that I'm sure many of you appreciate about the Rockets and, you know, by extension about Daryl Morey is he communicates with the fans. He's engaging on social media. He is, you know, for worse or for better, tongue in cheek there a little bit. But no, he, you know, it's really great that he is so, I don't want to say iconic, that's not the right word, that he's so recognizable. Let's go with that. Because there are other front office executives and GMs around the league. And if you like grabbed me and said, who's the GM of the Bucks, I'd be like, I don't know off the top of my head, let me Google it. But if you grab somebody and you're like, who's the GM of the Rockets? Oh, it's Daryl Morey. Like, and that's not just as Rockets fans. Like, Daryl Morey is, you know, maybe not a household name, but he's one of the most popular front office executives across the entire NBA. Everybody knows Morey. And so I think that's kind of cool to have as Rockets fans, you know, as we appreciate this organization, to have a GM like that who is, one, recognizable, two, accessible, that you can, you know, you can at him on Twitter and he, you know, might comment back. I mean, he's a guy who likes to go on social media and share his thoughts, and he's also really funny. I mean, so, you know, if you don't follow him on Twitter, I'm sure everybody is, but if you're not following him on Twitter, go give him a follow. You know, the things that he puts on Twitter, you know, the comments that he makes when he's got, you know, other national media critics and whatnot talking about the Rockets, and sometimes he'll jump in with a little jab or, you know, a little left hook to try and, you know, protect the team or whatnot. It's very entertaining. But in this Q&A session with Daryl Morey, a lot of the questions were about the 2007-2008 season. A lot of them were about the older Rockets squads and, you know, which players he liked and some of his favorite moments and things like that. But there were a few questions. One, there were a few questions that were definitely would have been in the tampering category. And so there were a handful of times that Morey had to be like, unfortunately, I can't answer that because of tampering, you know, whatever regulations or rules, which I thought was pretty funny that, you know, there's some people that they're just like, hey, who are we looking to trade for this offseason? And it's like, he can't really answer that. Anyways, the couple answers that he did have that I thought were very insightful were, first off, Daryl Morey believes the NBA season will resume at some point. And I think that's the biggest one. Daryl is very confident that the NBA season will return. So much so that right now, he and the rest of the Rockets brass are preparing to essentially play the Denver Nuggets. They are preparing as if when the NBA does return, that they are going to jump straight into postseason basketball, which would mean the Rockets would line up with the 3-seed Denver Nuggets as things stand right now, with the Rockets comfortably holding the 6th spot in the Western Conference. So that's both good and bad, because it's got its pros, got its cons. So the pros would be, one, if Daryl Morey, one of the highest ranking executives in the league, believes that the NBA season is going to resume at some point, that's pretty, like, I wouldn't put it past Daryl to have given a like PC answer of, oh, we don't really know, or, you know, I can't really comment at this time, if he wasn't certain that the season was going to resume. So the fact that he came out and was so confident in his answer about the season returning at some point, that gives me hope. Now, past that, so that's obviously one of the pros, is that, yay, we'll get basketball back at some point. One of the cons is I really wouldn't want to dive straight back in to postseason basketball. And I'll tell you what, we will talk more about this coming up in just a second. I'll continue my thoughts on Daryl's comments during the live Q&A session, but first, let's get a quick word in from our friends over at Postmates. Whether you're trying to go to town on like an early morning breakfast burrito or order a 12-pack of beers for a Rockets rewatch party, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. So if you're like me, you might even start thinking about what to eat for dinner when you're eating lunch, or what to eat for lunch when you're eating breakfast. Look, I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't deliver just burgers and sushi. They actually make my life easier for grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery too. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it, they'll deliver it. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. You can download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting about Daryl Morey's Q&A session during the Rockets documentary When Amazing Happened from Sunday evening. Now, I kind of ended that first segment on this thought of, I'm not that big of a fan of the idea of jumping directly back into postseason basketball, and here's why. So we see every year, the NBA, you know, NBA players, they come back from their offseason vacations, you know, gone fishing, what have you, whatnot. And they take, usually it takes preseason and it takes probably the first, I'd say 10 or so games of the regular season for most players to really find their groove and get things rolling the way that they're used to playing. And so for postseason basketball, what is supposed to be the most competitive basketball on the planet, it doesn't seem fair for these players who will have been, you know, at least at a minimum, haven't played for a month. I mean, and that's being optimistic about it. So really probably a month and a half, 2 month long hiatus of non, you know, competitive, no 5-on-5 basketball, because there is no replacement for competitive 5-on-5 NBA basketball. It is the highest level of basketball played on the planet. So there's no replacing that. You can't, no matter how many reps you're doing in a practice gym at home, no matter how many exercises you're doing, no matter how many shots you're putting up at a home gym, it doesn't matter. None of that replaces 5-on-5 NBA basketball. So that being said, it doesn't seem fair to force these athletes to just come back and jump directly into postseason basketball. Now, Daryl Morey did say at one point in this live Q&A that he assumes that there will be some regular season games played upon return. Now, whether that means 5 games, you know, kind of like, okay, teams, we're back, we're going to do this, we're going to have a 5-game tune-up, and then wherever the chips, wherever the cards lie after that's done, you know, wherever your seed is, that's that. That's one possibility. The other possibility is some type of a play-in playoff tournament where the teams that, you know, maybe were eligible for playoff contention, they have a play-in tournament to decide the seeding, which the games involved in the play-in tournament could then, I guess, be your way of tuning up the team. Because the difference is, this isn't, you know, an off-season hiatus. You know, these guys were in the midst of an NBA season that was canceled, that was suspended, put on hiatus, whatever you want to call it. And suddenly, you know, they're still exercising. They're still, you know, all sorts of, at least for the Rockets specifically, you know, they're checking in every day with team trainers, and they're having to FaceTime, and they're going over their exercise routines, and they're staying in shape. So they're not going to come back in necessarily like off-season shape, but they're still not going to be perfect when they come back, because they're going to be rusty, having not played, you know, basketball for month and a half, 2 months. So I think a tune-up period of at least 5 games has to be like the minimum. Now, whether, again, those 5 games come as 5 more regular season games, which could then impact playoff seeding, or whether they do the play-in tournament and it's somehow 5 games long or what have you, that all remains to be seen. So again, I'm not a fan of the thought of jumping straight back in and going directly to postseason basketball, especially, and here's the last part, especially going up against the Nuggets, because here's the thing, from a Rockets angle, we don't know how small ball is going to look against these Denver Nuggets. And that's frustrating, because the Rockets played all their matches against the Denver Nuggets before the Robert Covington trade was consummated. So there is, even if the season had continued on, you know, regularly, there was no chance for the Rockets to kind of have a preview of how this new small ball Rockets squad would look against the Denver Nuggets, a team that the Rockets have historically played really well against, in large part to Clint Capela, who is no longer a member of the team. Clint Capela would give Jokic fits because of how quickly he was able to get up and down the court, and because Jokic is, to borrow a term from Charles Barkley, he'd barbecue chicken when it comes to the pick and roll. You know, and so that doesn't happen anymore. Again, I've, you know, beat this drum to death about James Harden and the lack of pick and roll since, you know, committing fully to small ball. And I do think that that was the one area that the Rockets really destroyed the Nuggets in, was the fact that you could put Jokic into a pick and roll blender every play down the court. And it, one, it's exhausting for Jokic to have to guard that every possession. Two, he can't guard it. The Nuggets have to use some, you know, they traditionally employ some type of drop coverage where Jokic isn't the one being switched off onto these pick and rolls, and they're usually dropping him further back into the paint, which allows Harden or Westbrook or whoever's, it's basically Harden, let's face it, you know, allows Harden to drive the ball into the paint with the defender back on his hip after having to chase around the Capela screen. And then you've got Capela diving towards the rim. You've got Jokic, who is caught being indecisive whether he needs to guard, you know, contest James's floater or the drive to the rim, or fall back and try to break up the lob pass to Clint Capela. All these things, we've seen it time and time again, the bigs who are caught in no man's land and they cannot decide, do I block James Harden? Do I contest his shot? Do I step back? Do I try to interrupt the lob pass? And that's what made that play between James and Clint so beautiful and so unstoppable. Now, with no Clint, I honestly don't know who, I don't know who I favor in this matchup. You know, I like the space and play of the Rockets, but at the same time, Jokic and, to a lesser extent, Kristaps Porzingis are two of the bigs that concern me the most in the Western Conference. Because they're the two bigs that can really, they can face you up, and Anthony Davis to an extent as well. but they're the bigs that can face you up. They don't have to necessarily use their power against you. Jokic and Porzingis and AD as well, they're totally comfortable facing up somebody, shooting over the top, using their height, using their size to their advantage to just get clean looks off over the top of defenders. And when your biggest defender on the court is Robert Covington at 6'7", even with Covington's really long wingspan, that's nothing compared to Jokic, who's standing at 7 feet tall, or Porzingis, who's 7'3". Those guys can just shoot over the top of those defenders. So I'm worried about the Denver matchup from an individual personnel standpoint, and then also just, we saw it earlier this season, but Jokic and his ability to pass and the way that Denver plays with all the back cuts and, you know, slip screens and whatnot that they employ every single possession, I feel like the Rockets would get picked apart in that matchup. And it's frustrating to say because, again, the Rockets have largely been dominant against the Nuggets for the past, what, three seasons? Basically dating all the way back to the 16-17 season. So Mike D'Antoni's first season in Houston, I think the Rockets, off the top of my head, have only lost two, maybe three times to the Nuggets in that entire, it's 4 years now? Yeah, in that four-year span, I think they've only lost two, maybe three times to the Nuggets, because I know they lost once this season, they lost once last season in a game that Clint Capela didn't play in, and then there was one more loss before that, I think. Sorry, I'm going off the top of my head here. But again, that's the dominant matchup, and we don't know how that's going to look now. And that's concerning. And if they were to dive straight back into that postseason matchup without any tune-up games being played between now and then, just jump straight back in and say, all right, you're flying up to the Mile High City and you're playing Denver game one, first round of the playoffs, I would not be super confident. The only reason I'd be a little bit less anxious is because, again, the Rockets are one of the oldest teams, if not the oldest team in the league. And so getting the rest that they're getting, this midseason reprieve, this hiatus, is going to do wonders for this team. You know, players who have had nagging injuries, Westbrook, Harden, Eric Gordon is a big one. Guys like that who have had these nagging, lingering injuries are going, as long as they're taking this hiatus seriously and still working on training their bodies and being focused and being ready for the season to pick back up at some point, ideally, you get everybody to come back in tip-top shape and you're going to get an explosive early season version of this Rockets for the remainder of the season. Got caught between remaining and remainder there. Anyways, and that's going to be huge. That is something that, again, it's unprecedented. There's never been this month and a half, 2 month long gap in the middle of an NBA season to allow players to recharge their batteries, to get healthy, to, you know, monitor their injuries, to do all this stuff, to work on aspects of their game. Because all these players have home gyms. You know, pretty much every single one of these players has a gym or has a hoop of some kind in their house to be able to, you know, get shots up and practice moves and whatnot. And again, it's not the same as playing 5-on-5 basketball, but it's still getting reps in and it's still working on your shot, working on your form, you know, things of that nature to be ready for when the season does resume. So I think that's basically what I've got from there. There wasn't much else from Daryl Morey's Q&A that, you know, really stood out. He did say that, you know, in the following season, so the 08-09 season, when the Rockets played the eventual champion Lakers, that if they had had a healthy Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady and Dikembe Mutombo in that second round matchup against the Lakers, that he believes that they would have won. And kind of past that, he listed some of his favorite games, which were Game 5 at home versus the Warriors in 2018. So that would be the CP3 shimmy game, you know, which was eventually turned into the CP3 hamstring game, unfortunately. The Lakers game for win number 22, and then the Game 6 in LA versus the Clippers, otherwise known as the Josh Smith game. So some of Daryl Morey's favorite games in his tenure as the general manager of the Houston Rockets. And then I did, and this was a question that I got to ask him. I said, you know, besides the, you know, or where does the 22 game win streak rank for you as far as, you know, moments in your tenure, you know, with the Rockets? And he said it's second only behind the 2018 season, in which the Rockets did win, you know, 65 games and took the eventual champion Golden State Warriors to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. So I think that's a fair assessment of Daryl Morey's time with the Rockets, that, you know, he put the 2018 season right there and then the 22-game win streak right below that. So apart from that, you know, a couple other, you know, just moments, comments from Daryl Morey where he said, you know, talking about the streak, he said, "I remember thinking I was so happy at one point that year as I was going to scout Courtney Lee in Kentucky," which is kind of a throwback. And he goes, "Oh yeah, we haven't lost for like 6 weeks," which again, you know, if you were a Rockets fan back during that 07-08 season, it was, you know, it was crazy because you kept looking at the calendar and you're like, yeah, the Rockets haven't lost in a long time. And it was seriously a magical season. It was a great time to be a Rockets fan. And I think I mentioned this at least a couple times in this pod. I was at the 22nd win against the Lakers, and that's hands down one of my favorite Rockets memories that I have, if not my most favorite Rockets memory. So the fact that we were able to kind of talk about that as a group with Daryl Morey in that Facebook Q&A session was really cool. So I think coming up now, we will talk about the big three news that I wanted to share, as well as I'll get to those anything but Rockets mailbag questions coming up here in just 1 second. So you guys don't go anywhere. And we are back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So as promised, I want to share this bit of news coming out of the big three. So basically, there was this hypothetical that was posed on like the NBA subreddit a few weeks ago, whatever. Time is a myth now, with, you know, ever since the quarantine kind of started, and it was, you know, basically wondering, okay, is the NBA season going to resume? How are we going to do this? Whatever. And somebody suggested that you airdrop a bunch of NBA players onto like an island, like Survivor style, and do kind of like a reality TV show quarantine basketball tournament of sorts, right? So you get the player tested. If they test negative for COVID-19, then you drop them on the island, you pick teams, you do drafts, whatever, and you just make a big TV event out of it, right? That's basically what the big three is doing. So the NBA didn't quite, you know, jump onto this trend, but the big three is partnering with, I guess, Big Brother. And so Big Brother is, Endemol, I guess, is the company or the producers of Big Brother and Biggest Loser. There we go. And so I've never seen Biggest Loser. I have seen Big Brother, though. And so for those unfamiliar with the concept of Big Brother, basically you take all the contestants, so like a dozen people or something like that, and you stick them all into a house together, and they have to live together for months. And each week, somebody gets eliminated. You have competitions and stuff inside the house. Some of them are physically demanding. Others are, you know, mentally challenging, like puzzles and, you know, stuff like that. And all these contestants, they have to live together. And so obviously it's a reality TV show. So there's drama involved. They bicker, they get in fights, and, you know, they form cliques and, alliances and all this stuff. And you've got group A over here that hates group B because group C did something to group B and whatever. It's a nightmare. It's a mess. It's reality TV, it's petty, and it does ratings. So the big three has joined forces with the producers of the shows like Big Brother and Biggest Loser, and they're going to create a hybrid reality TV show and preseason tournament starring 16 quarantined players. So the show is tentatively titled Big Brother Big Three, and it's actually expected to debut the first week of May. So if things go well with this, it could actually become like an annual event for the Big Three League, which still plans to open its fourth season June 20th in Memphis. So basically, like I said already, you know, after the players receive a negative test result, the 16 players and some number of referees will be quarantined in a Los Angeles area home where they will live together and compete in a 3 week long tournament. So the daily lives of the players and the officials will be captured on camera and used to create drama and build narratives around the on-court action. So it's basically Big Brother centered on basketball. And I'm interested to see if they would have any of like the kind of, you know, the fun little competitions and stuff that the other reality TV shows use, or whether it's just going to be basketball centric. But who's the guy? So Ice Cube's partner in the Big Three, Jeff Quatinetz, has basically said that he's not going to do anything that takes away from the credibility of the games themselves, and that it will be real competition. You will see it live. So I don't think they're going to do any kind of cheesy stuff like, you know, have gimmicks or anything in the actual basketball games themselves. Now, they might do stuff outside of the basketball games that keep, you know, viewers engaged, and, you know, that way it's not just, okay, you tune in for 30 minutes of, you know, 16 NBA players bitching at each other, and then, you know, they play a game of basketball and that's that. Because that doesn't sound like great television. I mean, I'd still watch it, but, you know, they're trying to probably draw in people more than just, you know, is already their usual Big Three audience or their, you know, NBA audience. So I would imagine that they're going to have some kind of gimmicks and some fun stuff going on in there. But Jeff Quatinetz went on to say that, you know, Ice Cube and I, we entertain. That's what we do. It's certainly not as important as what doctors or others do, but that's our contribution to society. So if we can keep people healthy and safe and also give them things that make them happy, like sports and entertainment, we're going to do it. And that was kind of his answer to, you know, whether or not it was a smart or irresponsible opportunity that they're trying to, you know, take hold of here. But I think, you know, again, it's a small enough number of people, 16 people plus some referees, plus whatever you need as far as, you know, video crew and whatnot. And as long as everybody's tested and there's no issues as far as, you know, COVID-19 somehow finding its way into that house, you know, into that quarantined LA home, then I see no issues with it. And I think it's honestly a great way to provide some entertainment and to keep people kind of distracted while all this is going on. Now, kind of touching base back on that kind of original Survivor-based idea with the NBA, an idea that was floated by ESPN's Brian Windhorst was that they could use a potential like casino property in Vegas where they could house an NBA tournament and do their own version of like quarantine basketball, or potentially, you know, others have suggested you play in the Bahamas where you could convert maybe like a building or a ballroom or something into a playing court specifically just for this type of a broadcast. So there's obviously, you know, tons of ideas being floated about, but it's really cool that the Big Three is taking this idea and just kind of running with it and seeing how it's going to go. So I'm excited to see how things play, you know, play out with this and exactly where it goes, because it doesn't sound like we'll have NBA basketball back by that point, I don't think, by early, you know, first week of May. So it'll be interesting if this comes back and this is the first version of basketball that we get to see, because I feel like every NBA fan, myself included, is going to be turning the show on just to see what it's all about. So the ratings for it should be through the roof if the NBA season hasn't come back quite just yet. So with that, that's my little Big Three piece of news that I have. And so, as promised, I will go through these anything but Rockets mailbag questions. So first question from at 18 H-Town J, which is better, Shawshank Redemption or The Green Mile? I'm going to have to go Shawshank Redemption on this, and you'll have to forgive me, guys. It's only because I've only seen Green Mile like once, and honestly, it's been a while since I've seen Shawshank Redemption as well. So honestly, I'm due for a rewatch on both of these movies, but I'm also a huge Morgan Freeman fan, so I think that also probably takes the cake for me in this movie matchup. So next question I've got from at Chris_Davis. What's up, Chris? How are you handling social distancing? Playing video games? Actually, no. I've only played like one video game for one night since the whole social distancing and now the the shelter in place, at least here in Houston, has taken effect. And the funny thing was, the one video game that I did play, it was a couple of buddies reached out to me and they were like, hey, we bought this, you know, zombie survival video game. Come play it with us. And I was like, why are we doing this? And he was like, we're prepping for we're prepping for doomsday, right? Like, you know, COVID-19 has taken out society. We've got to be prepared for what it's going to look like, you know, in a few years. And so that was kind of funny. And so we all stayed up till like 5 a.m. one night playing that game. But largely between, you know, multiple jobs and, you know, trying to show prep for you guys and that kind of stuff, I just don't have a whole lot of time for video games anymore these days. I wish I did. You know, I truly love video games. I'm a big esports guy when I can keep up with it. And, you know, maybe I'll reach out to David Locke and one day you guys will see me on a Locked On Esports podcast or something. Next question from at Hollysturm 2004. Favorite video game franchise? Okay, lots of video game questions. This is going to be a bit of a throwback, and I don't even know how many people are going to know this game, but the original, I can't say the original, for the PlayStation 2, there was a video game franchise by Naughty Dog called Jak and Daxter, and it was originally a platformer game. So platformer games are the ones where you do a lot of jumping around, it's a lot of like collecting objects on maps and whatnot, and largely the very first iteration of the game, the original Jak and Daxter, was a very innocent game. You know, you were the main character was Jak, the sidekick was an ocelot named Daxter, who was his best friend. They got turned into an ocelot because he fell into a magic pool of ooze, or yeah, eco, there we go, that's what it was called in the game. And so you played throughout the game and whatnot, and then the thing was, is at the very end, you went through a time portal, and that's what kicked off Jak and Daxter 2. And Jak and Daxter 2 turned into, it wasn't quite a first-person shooter, it was a third-person shooter game, and it completely flipped the franchise on its head and came up with a lot of really cool stuff. So if I had to pick a favorite video game franchise, I feel like that's not one that a lot of people would pick, but that would be my favorite video game franchise, is the Jak and Daxter franchise, and a close second would be the Ratchet and Clank franchise. So two of my favorite games growing up, and one day when I own a console again, I'm gonna, like, whether it's a, you know, an old PS2 or a PS4 that can play PS2 games. Honestly, I've been so removed from console gaming for such a long time that I have no idea if that's even a thing that happens. I know that is with Xbox, right? You can have like the classic games or whatever on the newer Xboxes, whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about with consoles anymore, unfortunately. From the Electrifying Phenom, what's your favorite show to binge watch on Netflix? So I'm going to alter this just ever so slightly. I'm going to take the Netflix disclaimer off of that. So just, what's your favorite show to binge watch? Easily Brooklyn Nine-Nine. If it's not apparent by like the number of tweets that I send out that have to do with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I love that show. It's my favorite show. I think that's safe to say. But another show that is, you know, definitely right up there with Brooklyn Nine-Nine is Scrubs. And the rewatchability of both of those shows, like, to this day, I can watch Scrubs or Brooklyn Nine-Nine and watch an episode that I've seen, you know, a dozen times and still get a kick out of it. So those are definitely probably my top two shows, my top two favorites to binge watch. And then there's others, you know, I can throw on The Office or Parks and Rec or Supernatural is one that doesn't quite fit that motif because it's not, you know, just a comedy show. But any of those shows are great to just throw on and have, you know, either for some background noise or just, you know, float through a couple episodes and just kind of enjoy what was going on in that moment. What else do we have here? And last question, so from at Brit Robotista, favorite food. So, and this is a two-part question from Brit, so I'll do the favorite food one first. Favorite food, honestly, tacos. As basic as it sounds, I love tacos. I can never get enough tacos, and if you ask me if we're going to go get tacos, I'll say when and where, name the place, let's go. And so that kind of leads into part two of Brit's question. So what's the first thing that involves crowds that you'll like to do when things get back to normal? This isn't necessarily a crowd type thing, but I really miss eating at restaurants, you know, and maybe there's a negative stigma to like eating out at restaurants, like by yourself, but I think that's one of the most cathartic things that you can do as a person. I love going and doing things by myself, whether it's watching movies or eating at restaurants or just, you know, walking out and about in public, just kind of, you know, whether you go to, you know, the Galleria or something like that, and you're just cruising around. Being by yourself is really cool because you don't have somebody that's with you kind of saying, oh, you know, you don't have to compromise or, you know, share, do whatever. And that sounds a little selfish when you say it that way, but it is kind of like a freeing experience if you've never done any of those things by yourself. Another one people like to point to is traveling by yourself. But again, back to the question at hand, I am going to go enjoy so many sit-down restaurants because I love sitting down at a restaurant, you know, having a waiter or waitress come by, take your order, get you refills, appetizers, especially, and here's the thing, Mexican and Tex-Mex restaurants, again, back to the tacos thing, love tacos, but I also love chips and salsa, and honestly, and I might catch a little bit of flack for this, but I love Chuy's. I think Chuy's is one of the greatest restaurants ever, and their salsa fresca is absolutely where it's at. So as soon as the restaurant regulations are lifted here in Houston, I will find myself at a Chuy's with a gigantic bowl of salsa fresca and some tacos right in front of me, and I will be tearing it up. So I think that's where I will cut things off for today. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and I look forward to having you back here again at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.